Taiwan shares hit new heights on Monday, closing at 19,305 points. The charge was led by TSMC, which gained over 5%.
An analyst says that because the rise was driven by TSMC, traders should stick to the fundamentals and avoid blindly chasing highs.
The ticker shows gains across the board. Following a sharp rise in the U.S.'s four main indexes, Taiwan shares shot up Monday and remained steady above 19,000 points throughout the session. The TAIEX closed up 369 points at 19,305 on turnover of 485.3 billion NT.
TSMC's American depository receipts went up by more than 4%. Today, Taiwan shares were led by TSMC, which opened high and moved higher. TSMC really stole the show.
TSMC had a soaring start, and it saw a flurry of buying toward the close. Shares surged more than 5% to 725 NT, marking a new high. Related tech stocks also fared well. MediaTek and Hung Hai jumped over 4%, supporting the market rally. Compal got a boost from reports of a Dell order, with its stock hitting the daily limit during trade and closing at 38 NT, up 3.54%. Traders have plenty of cause to celebrate.
It wasn't such a strong day for AI concept stocks, but they still put up a decent showing. Take a look before you buy in. If trade volume is high but not rising, be a bit cautious.
Analysts say that, given recent market volatility, it's best to stick to the fundamentals and avoid blindly chasing highs.
It's been 20 days since a Chinese boat fatally capsized during a chase by Taiwan's Coast Guard. Despite 15 rounds of talks with the two Chinese victims' families, a resolution has yet to be reached.
On Monday, Taiwan confirmed reports of a demand made by Chinese negotiators that Taiwan's Coast Guard personnel go to China for questioning. But according to a Coast Guard official, the demand was later dropped.
During the negotiation process, such a demand had in fact been made by the other party, but the situation has since been resolved through communication over the past few days. Such a demand represented a considerable affront to our sovereignty. I hope that we will continue to maintain our stance. We need to make clear to the Ocean Affairs Council and its minister that there is no need for an apology. We are not in the position to give an apology, and there is no justification for an apology. If we didn't think we needed to stand by our values, we would have apologized long ago.
Since the February 14th incident, China has sent daily patrols of six or seven vessels into waters near Jingmen, sometimes entering restricted or prohibited areas. Each time, Taiwan's Coast Guard has broadcast warnings and moved to expel the patrols. KMT Vice Chair Andrew Hsia is back in Taiwan after a week-long stay in China, during which he met with China's Taiwan Affairs Office Director.
During his talks with TAO Director Song Tao, Hsia vowed to monitor the DPP as it investigates the February 14th capsizing incident that killed two Chinese fishermen. The promise had sparked accusations of treason in Taiwan.
Early morning on Monday, Hsia addressed the public outrage, stressing that he was not taking sides.
After 7 days in China, KMT Vice Chair Andrew Hsia touched down at Taoyuan International Airport Monday morning. Upon landing, he addressed criticism over his pledge to help China monitor the DPP, as the DPP investigates last month's drowning of two Chinese fishermen of Jinmen.
We are neither in power nor authorized to investigate. We are not clear on any of the facts. All we have said is that the investigation should follow the regular procedures in order to shed light on the truth. I'm not taking sides or echoing anybody's sentiments.
During a meeting with Hsia, China's Taiwan Affairs Office head Song Tao accused the DPP of acting with a ruthless disregard for human life. Xia did not object to the remarks, but instead promised to monitor the DPP government so that it will properly address the incident and swiftly uncover the facts.
We did indeed discuss the incident, but each side had its own positions on the matter. We hope that both sides can bring the matter to a close soon to prevent the issue from spiraling. That wouldn't be good for either side of the strait. Andrew Xia has no understanding of the facts. He is absolutely siding with China and undermining us. I think that at this point, we have to ask whether he is in fact one of us, a Taiwanese.
DPP lawmakers slammed Xia, accusing him of colluding with Beijing. They said he was willfully ignoring China's efforts to deny Taiwan's territorial claims and even its sovereignty.
The most regrettable aspect is the statements and doubts raised by many parties, including the KMT, and by many politicians. Their statements have gravely demoralized our frontline Coast Guard personnel.
Xia was asked why he had gone to China amid high cross-strait tensions. He said that there were 154 Taiwanese business groups in China. He added that so far he's only visited 40 of them, hinting at more cross-strait visits in the future.
Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan headed back to his native Taoyuan on Monday to visit the site of a future Taoyuan metro station. Construction will start soon on the metro's Brown Line after the cabinet approved its feasibility study and comprehensive planning report last week.
Once the Brown Line is up and running, travel time from Taoyuan to Xinzhuang will go down to just 18 minutes. Traveling to Taipei from Taoyuan will take about 40 minutes. Officials hope to complete the line in 8 years to bring Taoyuan even closer to the capital.
The premier had meant to come make the announcement himself, but since Taoyuan is my hometown, he asked me to do it.
Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan went on an inspection tour of the Taoyuan Metro Brown Line project on Monday. Back in his native Taoyuan, Zheng was voluble and at ease.
So the vision of three hearts, six lines that I had during my tenure is about fully realizing this plan. Work on three lines is already underway, while the other three lines are awaiting government approval. I hope that the Taoyuan city government will catch the ball I'm throwing them here. I'll try to be accurate with my pitching if they do their best with catching.
During his time as Taoyuan mayor, Zheng initiated a six-line metro project, three lines of which are now under construction. The newly approved Brown Line will connect Taoyuan train station to Taipei Metro's Huilong station, linking up Taipei's Zhonghe-Xinglu line as well as the Shulin line, which is under construction. In the future, travel time from Taoyuan to Xinzhuang will go down to 18 minutes by metro. It will take about 40 minutes to get from Taoyuan to Taipei.
Between Taoyuan and Taipei, there will be the high-speed rail, the standard railway, and three metro lines. Taoyuan will share a one-hour living circle with Taipei. With the Guishan Brown Line, the commuting time from Taoyuan to Xinzhuang will drop drastically to just 18 minutes. The first thing is what was just mentioned, the fact that initially the tracks were elevated, but Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan pushed for them to be underground so that they did not become obstacles to urban traffic. The second thing is that the project was initially meant to be a light rail, but later became a metro with medium capacity. This was very forward-thinking.
The Brown Line will cost 45.6 billion NT. The central government will provide 23.8 billion NT, with the local contribution significantly cut to 21.8 billion NT. The goal is to complete the line in 8 years to achieve a one-hour living circle between Taoyuan and Taipei.
Alleyways without any line markings may seem like it's legal to park, but some of them might be hidden ticket traps.
Police say that when parking along a double yellow road, parking such that other vehicles must cross the center line to pass constitutes a legal violation.
So how should you park to avoid the ticket? FTV investigates.
Parking on a white line within 10 meters of an intersection is illegal. Even parking in some unmarked areas might not be allowed. On narrow roads, if a parked vehicle forces another to cross the center double yellow line when passing, it might be ticketed.
About from the white line to here.
When parking in alleys, you no longer only need to consider the color of the road markings. Traffic police will use a measuring wheel to see if it meets two main criteria. First, the vehicle cannot exceed the white line by more than 40 centimeters. Second, it must be a safe 50 centimeters or more from oncoming vehicles. Even if you meet these two criteria, if your vehicle causes others to cross the center line when passing, it could be hazardous and warrant a fine.
Parking like this makes the lanes narrower. It forces other vehicles to cross over the line into oncoming traffic. So parking like this constitutes illegal behavior.
Few drivers have the time on their hands to bring a tape measure and carefully measure out their parking space, meaning that parking on a narrow street is always a roll of the dice. Instead of taking the risk, it's probably better to find a fully legal spot to park to avoid a ticket.
At Taoyuan International Airport, runway repairs have led to major flight delays. The southern runway was closed for maintenance last Sunday, leaving only the north runway operational. This has caused major disruptions to flight schedules, with some passengers experiencing delays of over 2 hours.
The airport authority says that the delays are worse than expected. It's expedited repairs so that the runway can reopen by midnight.
The asphalt and concrete paving are already complete. We need to wait for it to cool, but the final tasks will be completed ahead of time by midnight so that the runway can be reopened. Despite the busy flight schedule, the 50-hour maintenance operation was launched, so flight frequency had to be reduced. The airlines were made aware, but it appears that the airlines did not realize adjustments were needed. In the future, air traffic control and aviation operations will need to work together more closely.
The runway was originally closed for 3 days of annual maintenance. On the first day, last Sunday, repairs affected 698 flights. Another 647 flights were affected on Monday. Crew are now in a race against time to finish work by midnight to restore normal flight operations as soon as possible. According to the latest census released by the Interior Ministry, of the 22 cities and counties in Taiwan, 6 have become super-aged. In other words, 1 in every 5 people in these places is over the age of 65.
The nation's oldest administrative district is Jiayi County. The second oldest is Taipei City. Senior citizens make up 22% of the population in both places. What's more, over 3 million households are single-person households. That's 35.9% of households, a historic high.
According to the latest census released by the Ministry of the Interior, of the nation's 22 counties and cities, more than a quarter have become super-aged. That's a whole year ahead of the expected year the National Development Council had forecast.
As for Taiwan as a whole, its population is aging rapidly. The proportion of aged people may not put it among the top 3 in the world, but I think the speed at which Taiwan is aging should put it in the world's top 3.
According to the categorization of aging societies, when 20% of a population is 65 or older, that would constitute a super-aged society. Taiwan's oldest population center is Jiayi County. A total of 22.36% of its population comprises people 65 and older. This is followed by Taipei and Nantou in Yunlin counties in second, third, and fourth places, respectively. The latest census also puts Geelong at 20.24% and Pingdong County at 20.14% into the super-aged category. In all these places, you'll likely run into a senior citizen every 5 people you meet.
In these metropolitan areas, out-of-town workers help maintain economic momentum, even if the household registration data shows an aging population. However, if the population is aging in a rural county or city, it will be like many places in Japan where the entire city has become nearly empty because the local population is dying off. Without residents and people, it will have no economic activities. Without economic activities, local taxes will not be collected, and that leads to financial problems.
With the combination of an aging population and low birth rates, the average number of people per household in Taiwan has also dropped below 2.53 people.
There are 3.32 million single-person households, accounting for 35.9% of the total, a record high. New Taipei has the largest number of single-person households, while Penghu has the highest percentage of single-person households. Older adults living alone is becoming an increasingly serious issue for local governments, which are facing the challenge of declining coffers.
The Institute for Biotechnology and Medicine held its annual conference at the Taipei Bioinnovation Park on Monday. The event was attended by President Tsai Ing-wen, who praised the Institute's efforts to drive growth in the biomedical sector.
Also in attendance were ASUS Chair Johnny Shi and Quanta Chair Barry Lam, who discussed current trends in tech, including how AI can be harnessed for biomedicine.
After considering your symptoms, Zemba the robot books an appointment for you. At the Institute for Biotechnology and Medicine Industries annual conference, ASUS Chair Johnny Shi demonstrated how artificial intelligence can be integrated with smart healthcare.
AI can help resolve future problems with medical care, and through lean thinking, it can also optimize the digital transformation of hospitals.
Shi said AI could boost medical service quality, reducing the error rate in clinical decisions. He said it could also improve access to healthcare for patients in rural areas. Quanta Chair Barry Lam said AI would revolutionize the medical care sector.
Over the past year, we have seen the emergence of generative AI. It represents not just a technological revolution, but also the potential for massive changes in medical care.
According to the Institute for Biotechnology and Medicine Industry, Taiwan has an old age dependency ratio of 26.5%, and nearly 35% of primary caregivers for the aged are themselves over 65 years old. These numbers indicate a caregiving crisis, especially as Jiayi, Taipei, Yunlin and Nantou became super-aged societies earlier than expected. With 4.86 million people who are 65 and older, Taiwan's elder care market is valued at 3.6 trillion NT. The global elder care market is 112.2 trillion NT, and AI's potential in the field has become a hot topic.
I'd like to thank the Institute for Biotechnology and Medicine Industry for actively promoting links between the tech sector and the biotech sector, as well as bringing together partners from key medical supply chains all over the world. Thanks to these efforts, Taiwan has gone international and has become an important hub for biomedical research and development.
President Tsai Ing-wen shook hands with biomedical industry leaders. She called on ICT and finance to join the biomedical sector to drive growth and put Taiwan on the global map.
Online debate flared up recently over a closed store with an admission fee. The Taipei closed store attracted vitriol online after a celebrity complained that she had to spend 60 NT just to enter the store.
Many other businesses and shoppers in the Eastern District of Taipei said they couldn't tolerate such a rule. But the company in question says its store is more like a private showroom and that the rule has been clearly advertised and is intended to deter casual window shoppers.
Many take it for granted that restaurants and cafes set a minimum spend. But have you ever gone into a store that had a minimum spend? An internet celebrity visited the South Korean fashion store in Taipei's Eastern District and was surprised to be told straight after entering the store that there was a minimum spend of 60 NT. She was so shocked that she posted about the experience on social media and ignited a debate.
You just wanted to browse, but you're forced to spend 60 NT. People who know the store say the cheapest way to satisfy the minimum spend policy is to buy a pair of socks. An FTV reporter visited the store in the Eastern District. And yes, before we had even entered the store, an employee told us at the door that the store operates on a booking system and has a minimum spend.
I'd walk out the door. I couldn't tolerate a rule saying I had to spend money for just going inside. I don't know if the stuff in your store suits my needs or anything. I guess if I like the things, I could accept it. If I didn't like the things, then I wouldn't go in.
The minimum spend at the clothing store provokes two main types of responses. But it's the first time hearing about the phenomenon for nearby store owners we spoke to. One who has been in the district for over a decade, and another selling South Korean garments.
I've been in clothing here for 10 or more years, and I had never heard of this problem. I'd be shocked, because normally with that type of clothing, we always let customers in to browse. If they think the clothes are okay, then they can buy. The only exception is for unusual clothes stores, perhaps selling real luxury VIP items.
The store's owner has made a statement to say that the store is only a showroom. After it opened in May last year, its sole store assistant couldn't manage multiple customers at one time. That led them to implement the rules. The store is normally closed to prevent passersby coming in to browse. On the day the celebrity visited the store with her friend, the assistant assumed the visitors knew about the minimum spend rule, which led to the misunderstanding. In the end, the celebrity left without having made any payment.
If companies implement a minimum spend policy, they must advertise it clearly, somewhere visible to consumers before they enter the premises.
There's no legal issue if a store has a minimum spend to deter time wasters, so long as the rule is advertised clearly and customers know the rules of the game. But for many people, going into a minimum spend establishment before you know what you think of its products is a game that doesn't sound like much fun.